As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League Podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wabbit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
And we are now back after a little bit. Welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rock League Podcast. I'm your host, LeZero, and I'm joined by Wabbit. How's it going, Wabbit?
It was me. I'm actually here. Let's go.
Yeah, you're actually here. Not only that, I feel like it's been a while since we did a duo show. Mm-hmm, you know, That's like, to me, this is like the thing that keeps the show grounded. We need a duo show every so often.
Yeah, every so often. It just has to be the two of us. We can just talk. We can do whatever and just... just have that. We'll have our fancy things every so often. And by every so often, I mean most of the time.
But... it just feels like every show has been different, right? And then, then
we return every so often to just us.
To just us. Yeah. Throw it back, shall we say. I was going to say right off the bat. It feels like a lot of our shows, we've had a lot of guests. And I love getting those in. But I mean, I'm curious, like, whenever we have a guest on, I'm like, I wonder if that's like the first time someone's hearing us, right? And so, like, do they know what our like standard show would be like? Like, that's really the question that I ask myself sometimes. I was gonna actually start off the show by talking a little bit about actually playing Rocket League.
Oh my,
which is something we haven't done the show.
What? We haven't talked about this in so long.
I just want to say we played with Elias for a little bit.
We did play with Elias for a little bit.
And I can still keep up in GC. That's what I learned. I think we went 4-5. Is that it?
Yes.
Something like that. We're down one or two, but I was up like 20 or 30 MMR. I think I'm in C1. So I was like, when we won, I'd get like 20. And then when we lost, I'd get like lose three. So.
It was 14-4 were your numbers.
There you go.
Sometimes 15-5.
Wow. Amazing. So I was just, it's like I won essentially
three games
two games
for every loss.
Yeah.
It was just two free games as long as we won one.
Amazing.
It was very good.
It's one of those things as well. It's like, it takes you a while to readjust, you know, like, I think that's the thing, right? It's
for sure.
You're playing that rank and you're like, oh wait, they are just going to do this thing, right?
Yeah. And keep in mind, just for like defense of the number 4-5, still like pretty good considering it was a pretty wide range of MMRs. I think I was sitting at 1480 at the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like just below the 1500, mid, fairly seated in GC. Elias was 1410-ish, I think, at the start, just below GC, just below that rank. Could have gotten up, could have gotten down, whatever. It's like div 4. And then you were in C1 1200?
Is that somewhere where it was? I don't know.
Yeah. So that's like honestly a pretty large MMR distribution. And if I see a team like that on the opposing team, if I'm solo queuing in threes, I'm like, okay, there's a Smurf on here. That person
they
is certainly
always a Smurf. Assume I'm a Smurf, but I'm like, how do I have 3K hours and be a Smurf? You know? Like,
nobody's looking at your hours. They're just like, oh, that's a C1 that's actually keeping up in GC. There's no way.
I'm a pretty bad Smurf because I don't like stand out, you know.
True. As long as you're not like doing flip resets, you're not, you know, going for air dribbles, being like, yes, this is my game. You don't get to play. It's me. It's the C1 show over here. Then you're definitely good.
There were definitely times I was doing the spinnies.
You were doing the spinnies every so often.
Yeah, for sure. I was also going to add that I feel like in general, it's like the pace of the game speeds up, but then it's like way more predictable. Like, I think that's what I found. Mm-hmm. And so when we were playing, there's just a lot of moments I'm like, oh wow, everything makes sense. And then on top of it, and I think this is kind of true, if someone can like keep up but still they're inconsistent, and it's actually helpful because the game gets like faked all the time.
Yep. And like sometimes people will be aware of it and be watching and be like, oh, this person is messing up, this person has missed it a couple times or is going for fakes or whatever else. But that's not super common in GC.
Well, it
that's
means
like an SSL strat.
Because of the lies and you were wary, like I was less consistent, right? You guys were actually watching for the misses. Uh-huh. And the other team, there's like the zero to no chance. Like, even if one of them was watching, not like, it was more likely that there was on their team, they were less aware of it than on our team. So I think in general, just it compounds because it, and like, I'll do stuff like not hit the ball on purpose if I know the person has the block, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you do stuff like that, it like
intentional fakes.
Yeah, it's intentional fakes. But then other times it's just like, oh, I'm not keeping up with the speed of the game, so I'm a little less consistent, so I just miss the ball. But it works, because then both of them miss it right after, so. But WAP's playing with me so much that he knew.
Oh, yeah. We knew. That was very clear fakes that were coming up. It's like, oh, that's a little bit too far off the wall. I'm going to keep on rotating back here and not turn up.
Yeah.
That's something that, like, I'm a little bit sus of people who are, like, consistently mechanically here. I'm not going to trust the zero. I'll turn for it if you hit it.
Oh, no, which is fine. No. Which may just make sense because it's like, if you're a good enough player, then it shouldn't really matter who you're playing with, because you should also be good enough to predict their actions, right? Especially the more you've played with them. So if I was like, you know, maybe if I was playing like when we were preparing for that tournament, right? Like maybe when we were doing that, we couldn't really afford to not believe in your teammate, because we're just playing against people that were so much better than us sometimes. Mm-hmm. That it's like, you, even if I made the mistake, you have to make the mistake with me, because it's objectively the better way to play. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like playing too safe and then just letting them do like 3 flip resets, right?
And they just take control and you're just watching them sitting like a silver in the net being like, wow, what a freestyler.
Exactly. So, in those cases, it's like that. But it's like, if you know someone has been playing a bit, then you'll probably know. And it's sometimes even the session, right? If you know in that session they've already missed a couple, then you're like, okay, I'll just like tend to play a little more conservatively.
Yeah.
And expect them not to hit it all the time.
Yeah. But honestly, overall, I think we were vibing like a lot. Once we had those first few warm-up games out of the way, I think it was probably like 2 or 3 losses in a row. But
and then we just won.
We just had like a full-on streak of the three of us were just vibing. We were really prepared for what each other were doing. There were very few mistakes in, like, you know, whether it's rotation or people calling something out and being like, oh, I actually can't hit that, or somebody calling someone off and then just not trusting that because of they've been hurt too many times in the past. it was really good. It was actually a very, very fun session where we were just chilling and vibing in the high 1400s. It was great.
No, for sure. I'll also add, like, maybe like relating, I was playing some twos today, and I felt like in threes you don't really want to give people space. Mm-hmm. But definitely in these games there were times that I knew there's someone that was like a freestyler, But like, I just gave him the space. I'm like, you are not enough of a threat to actually, like, I predicted his flip reset and you're like, oh, like, why don't you let him do the flip reset? I'm like, yeah, you're a freestyler and you have good mechanical skill, but you're going way too slow for me to get fooled by this. Like, I'm just gonna, if you're going slow enough, I can get the perfect angle where I'm blocking both your shot and your fake, you know, like both your flip reset. And if you don't flip reset, I still got you. So
yeah,
it was funny because I was just like letting this guy, every time he just like went up the wall to start something. And I'm like, I mean, that's great, but you're just going so slow that it you're not hurting me.
There's no threat here whatsoever. I can just like either sit on the ground, the backboard, get fully set up, maybe grab a couple boosts on my way over.
I mean, that's why like pros are so impressive, right? Because like, yeah, they won't do some of the crazy stuff that like freestylers would do. But like at the same time, it's like they're going full speed and they just like turn around perfectly to get a flip reset. And now the other person has to either respect it or jump in right away and then get beat, right?
Yeah. So, it's like, oh man, I don't know if you saw it, but I think Flux earlier, a couple days ago, this is very random, but it reminded me of it. He posted a clip of KV1, I think last split, not this thing, but the previous, I guess previous years, like the 2021 RLCS. It was KV1, the Spanish player, the South American player, hit off kickoff, just absolutely like banging the ball towards the other side, and then it looks like it's going to be a backboard read, so the defender's going up for it, but it's a little bit too slow for it to go there, and KV1 catches up to it, gets a flip reset immediately off of the ball, and just flicks it over directly under bar. And it honestly was one of the fastest and best shots I've ever seen, because I don't even know how he did this. It was just incredible. But that's what it looked like. It was like, it wasn't a slow setup of a flip reset off the ceiling where he needs like 10 seconds to even just get that first touch. It was, no, I'm just going full speed at the ball, kind of looking like I'm panicking, but I also hit the flip reset and got it over you and popped it. And now it's in your net on low boost. And you're seeing all of this and you're like, no, that's actually a mechanical player. That is somebody who's good at the game.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's not that like freestyling is bad, right? Like I would argue that someone who's been like freestyling a whole bunch and then they get more serious with the game probably has a higher ceiling in general, right?
100%. Yeah.
It's the ability like to execute those things quickly in game and know when you can, when you can't go for it, right?
Yeah.
Because how many times, like the first time someone learns a flip reset, the next like five games, every time they go up the wall, they go for the flip reset and then someone just hits it, you know?
Yep. And you're not really doing anything with the flip reset, but you know, sometimes you do and it's really cool and it's really fun. But that's why I've always been a proponent of just being consistent and doing your basic stuff very well. You'll learn the freestyling as it comes
up. And you know, and it's like, you know, when you have the skill, you have to then know when to implement it, right? And
100%.
And you have to know the skill like the back of your hand, right? Like, I mean, just like to do a little analogy here, right? Like in soccer, the last couple of like years I've been like doing rainbows over people.
Okay. Nice.
But I mean, it's like, you know, it's like not straight up competitive. It's usually on like 4v4 or smaller course. It just makes sense because you're not moving, so it's a lot easier to do.
Yep.
And then everyone goes like, whoa. But it's like one of those things. It's like, no, I've literally practiced this trick for like 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's so embedded that I can do it. And like, it makes way less sense in like an actual game because then you have to run
and to go and catch up to it. Yeah, yeah.
Like the way a rainbow works well in a soccer game is that person has to be running actively towards you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they're standing still and you're not faster than them, it's not going to work. You know, they have to run towards you so that way they're like, you're going one way, they're going towards you, and then you flick it over them, and then it's like, oh, perfect, right? Because they now have to slow down and then turn around.
This is why you shadow in Rocket League.
Oh, 100%, right? I mean, it'd be the same thing in soccer, right? You jockey, right? Like, that's what they call it. But you just essentially wait for them to do something, right? And that's why someone like slowing you down is more annoying in sports and definitely Rocket League as well, right? Sometimes slowing you down is more annoying than someone just straight up taking the ball from you.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you'll do those blocks where it's like, okay, well, this isn't going where exactly where I want it, but I've stop them from doing the thing they wanted to do, and that's good enough sometimes. Mm-hmm. But no, I was gonna say, like, I think in general in Rocket League, it's really easy actually to beat people, because the better people get, the more they expect certain things in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And they have to, because I mean, it's one of those things where you'll see like a lot of people get beat in certain situations and like pass one person. And it's because that person had to do that thing, because if they did the thing that over anticipated, right? Mm-hmm. If you tried to like overthink it, you might just leave your net open, you know, like you might make it a way more dangerous situation. So sometimes like flying and completely missing, but you slowed them down for half a second and didn't let them do exactly a thing. They had to do a thing that was slightly less optimal, mm-hmm. was good enough, you know? So I think that's an interesting thing about Rocket League.
It's why in like high level defense, especially if it's against an air dribble or somebody going off ceiling, the first thing that people will do is try and force them high. Like that's the number one thing, which is why backboard defense is so important against like really mechanical players, because the backboard defense is them maintaining possession because the first defender has gone up and forced them high and forced them to either use the flip or get those extra couple touches off of net. But then the next defender is the one that's going to actually deal with the ball. It's the limitation of challenges. Like you're just taking away certain options as every defender gets beaten. And if the first one does it, then awesome. If they don't do it, then they've done their job and forced it high. And like worst case scenario, they get a 50 and the third person's ready for it. Or the person that was on the background is ready for it or whatever else.
And that's why like you'll see people pass one or two quite easily, but then always the third person gets in pro play. And it's like, because you've essentially what the first people have done is you know got rid of those options, and that's why like sometimes in ranked, even if I know I'm way out of position, like there's no way I'm blocking it, I'll just throw myself randomly, even if I'm going to completely miss, because me completely missing closer to the other person, right where they think there's a threat, is a lot better than me just like, because I'll sometimes you get stuck where you're just like on your own line and you're just jumping and hoping they hit into you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, that's not better than me at least lunging and hoping to put anything on it. Mm-hmm.
And that's another bit that I was also going to bring up, where you're actually covering it already, where as you go up in ranks, fake challenges are, you do a lot less. With every like major skill level increase, your fake challenges do a lot less and put you a lot less out of position. Because earlier on, you're just like, all right, I'm faking. I'm just going to jump for the ball. I don't care if I hit it. I don't care if I do anything. I'm just kind of going at it and I'm fake challenging. But the like highest level pro play, especially in like in ranked, not necessarily actual pro play, but in like SSL ranked and the highest ranks, it'll be, I'm literally just slightly turning my car for a half second. And just that little wheel will be like, oh, there, that's enough to make me have to jump as the one that's on the offense. Because if they do happen to go here, then I'm getting dunked and it's probably going in my net. So instead of that, I'll just go for the jump, go for the air dribble, go for the flip reset later on and have all of these options available to me. But that little slight turn of the wheels has forced out all of those ground options. So then that's done, and then they can go again or again and again with those shadows and with those slight little pump fakes where it doesn't really look like you're doing anything, because you're essentially not, but you're giving the possibility that you could do something. And that's enough for the highest level where that fake challenge is done.
Where the higher and higher level you are, the more they'll respect those things, right?
Exactly.
And it's, you know, and it maybe sometimes it's an abundance of caution, right? That's why you'll see sometimes someone get beat when they really shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And it's because they won't respect your fake, right? And they'll just go in sometimes. And so like it's one of those things where like if you know you're catching them out, or if you know they're playing predictably, there's a lot you can do with that. Mm-hmm. But then if they just switch it up on you, then, you know, I mean, that's what like happened with them. I mean, I just remember who's our Scarab friend?
Flakes.
Yeah, I just remember Flakes like watching his stream after a while, and he's like, okay, I'm just gonna go fast here because of the fact that like everybody
they think I'm gonna slow. It's Flakes, he's not gonna fake challenge, so I'm just gonna go fast.
so Flakes was like, okay, well, I need to go fast now, just so like there is that switch, there's that potential threat of other things.
And I've talked about this in the past in my own play as well, especially in like when those couple short periods I've played ones. What I do is I play the first like 2 minutes, 3 minutes and be like very, very slow or very, very challenging and just hard chasey just to get them. Yeah. And then just hard switch at a certain time or when a goal goes in or whatever else, or if I start to lose or if it's like, oh, they might be coming back. That's hard pivot my entire play style to be completely different because now it's
we
like
talked about that doing, but we're in ones like you could just actively like just decide before the game, okay, like at this point I'm going to change my play style and it works a lot of the time.
Yep.
Because they just don't know what to do.
Exactly.
Okay, I think that's a good we haven't done a beginner's corner in a while, but there you go. There's a beginner's corner, first time in a little bit. We got a whole bunch of esports to get through, so we're just gonna jump right into it.
Let's do it.
First thing I want to do is actually, since we had our guest last week in Greybeard, maybe we can jump right into Sub-Saharan Africa, the regional number 2, the Fall Cup.
SSA, let's go.
And this is really cool because Orlando Pirates, XD, who were the representatives in the wild card to like make it to the World Championship, right? They don't seem to be on top. They got fourth.
They did get fourth.
So what stood out to you? Because there's some players that stood out to you that you want to talk about.
So first off, Orlando Pirates lost to ATK, team with a couple a French guy or Dutch guy. I'm not entirely sure.
ATK is give me 2 seconds.
Wordy Willow and Geizo.
Yes. Yes.
So you know they lost to ATK. It was actually very close, it seems. I didn't watch it, I'll be honest. But very close, it seems. And what ended up happening...
The French player on that team is from Reunion Island, which we talked about in the last episode, which is a French island really, really, like...
Yes, in the
off
area.
Of Madagascar. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So ATK beats off Orlando Pirates. Orlando being the team that most people would recognize from SSA, just because they were in the finals of RLCS for last season. But then May Contain Nuts actually beats out ATK in the finals. And the reason that I specifically mentioned May Contain Nuts is that I'm not exactly sure where, but I do know through the grapevine, I've heard a couple things about Darth as a player being fairly good. I'm not quite sure about Snowy or To Die For. Somebody else might know more about them, would know more about the region. But I do know Darth's name, and that has some name recognition for me, so I wanted to put that out there. Like, that's a May Contain Nuts, is they might be a little nuts.
Yeah, they might. I mean, they have a great name. And their coach is Noxus, which is played on Northwood University Blue. So
yes.
And who else? We got,
I'm wondering if we faced them or if Brock ever faced them. Because well, I do know the name.
Well, Nox has played a little bit for a 72 pin connector back in the day.
Yep.
RBG Sports.
Yep. The classics.
Power. So that's pretty good.
Went through that whole rotation with the rest of
Substitute for Casey Pioneers. He's got a resume.
He definitely has a resume. Like, Noxus is a name that's familiar. And the surprise.
I'm curious if there's like. Maybe Noxus is like. Centrals of this team, but I wonder if there's like some players like this that are like just like coaches of 3 or 4 teams, you know. That's entirely possible. I'd be curious. You have to make a name for yourself, so there
you go. A name for yourself, but yeah,
no, it's cool. It's not predictable region, so there seems to be a whole bunch of contenders. I mean, I would I guess, yeah, you wouldn't necessarily predict this final, right?
No, I don't think that you would,
although like you could maybe argue that if Pirates played May Contain Nuts that it might be different,
right? It may have been. They didn't end up facing each other at all,
and Pirates also beat ATK earlier
in the group stages. That's the one thing that I was gonna say, but just to go back, May Contain Nuts did beat ATK in their matchup,
so
as well,
twice.
So there might be a little bit of a three-way fight going on there, or some actual competition happening in the SSA region, which you know, after having...
It's always the best.
Yes, exactly. Like, seeing that level, we've seen what's happened in South America, which we're going to go to soon, where that little bit of competition where that there is a three-way tie, it's not just one team is better than everyone else, it has been historically very good for a region, leads to some very good and interesting Rocket League that can have pretty large effects later on.
And there's is one more team we do have to mention. Do you know who the coach of the other fourth place team Reformed is?
No.
Oh, the person's name is Fisher, and I'm just curious if this is Fisher the Twitter follow or not. You know, that's but it is from the guy is from the States, so who knows? There you go. Take it as you will. Lots of like random like university players just coaching.
But, right, I mean, that's cool. I'm interested
in that.
That's
an avenue.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That is the Sub-Saharan African region.
Their Fall Cup.
Their Fall Cup. Yes. the not confusing at all. thing. Okay. You said we're gonna go into South America. Let's go in right into South America. I'm just gonna double check. I know they have a tournament happening literally this weekend. Is that what you want to talk about?
They do have one happening this weekend, but I didn't necessarily want to talk about this weekend.
Last one?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about last weekend because...
The Fall Cup?
Also the Fall Cup. We can also talk, yeah. So last weekend or 2 weeks ago...
That's what it was called, sorry.
Yes, it was the Fall Cup 2 weeks ago.
Everything that just happened was the Fall Cup. Everything that's going to happen is the Invitational, okay?
Exactly.
Or the Open? Is it the Open?
The Invitational.
Because you're getting invited from the previous... Okay. Yeah. I'm with you, Psyonix, all right?
So the big thing that... Or like the most notable thing that we really should be taking note of... worldwide, I'll be honest, is that the club took the Fall Cup with I think it was pretty, it was pretty resounding. They didn't really have much competition necessarily. They didn't lose a single game over the entire weekend. So resounding win by the club. But with that, they've actually clinched their spot into the major that is happening in 3 weeks. Is it 3 weeks or four? And they are one of three teams that has done that so far.
Wow. I just want to say right away, I mean, this was brought to our attention by Flux in the esports discussion in our Discord. So there you go.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if I've actually been very vocal about it, but the club, I think I was in while we were going over the RLCS finals specifically, and like kind of throughout, because like Secret's always been great, but The club, Secret and Furia were always that like main three that you could expect to see in the top three of SAM. So what we're seeing here is that with Furia being gone, Furia moved up to NA. The club, having made it to the LAN finals, to RLCS finals, and after a little bit of a change up on them, with the roster, they have seated themselves as pretty cleanly the best team in the region. They've definitely set themselves up to be the best team in the region. There is a little bit of competition from some teams. They can take some games. They can take some things. Crew actually ended up taking some in the Fall Open, bringing them to Game 7. But that's not unexpected, looking at last year's performance either. But seeing them here, seeing them perform so well and already clinching this spot, I'm very, very excited for, because the club has been an incredible team to watch. And it was the club Furia in the major that, like the RLCS finals, that at least I said was the best best match of the entire tournament.
And I think on top of this, it's just cool to see. I know Furia went to the NA region, right, to get better competition, like in general, so they overall improve. But I think there is something to where like some of these like other regions are, if not there, like almost there.
Yeah.
And I still maintain that winning is a habit. You know, like there is momentum's important. So there is something to, like, if you're actually winning all these tournaments versus like just being in the middle of the road, then you might perform better when you have the major coming up.
Yeah. So I'm very, very excited, very hopeful for the club. I really want to see more from them. Once again, because like partially because they did take Furia to seven. It was, I think, pretty objectively. Some people can argue with maybe one or two other series, but one of the best series in RLCS World Championships of last year. And they made a change up that has only been good for them in the past little bit with like since then in their team, like in their team composition. So this might genuinely be one of the teams to be looking out for the major, especially now that they've qualified and we can already start talking about that.
No, for sure. Okay, we're going to continue on because there's apparently like every region just had a tournament this weekend.
Wasn't just this weekend. We're going over 2 weeks.
We are going over 2 weeks, but like there's three of these that are all happened like the day or two before we were recording this. Yes. Okay, let's jump into OCE where I kind of got an inkling. There's a Prof was I don't know, was in some Twitter beef with someone.
Ooh.
I don't know if it was actually Twitter beef, but it was something about mentality or whatever. I don't know. People were throwing you know, jabs at each other online. Maybe it was someone from Power. I don't know. Anyway, we had Power beating out Pioneers in the finals 4-1 in OCE.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember now. Here, let me just check real quick because it's been a while since I looked at it. In the previous tournament,
Pioneers took the win and Power ended up 5th-8th.
Yeah, and they didn't have to play Power.
No. They beat Power in their round 3.
In the round 3, Swiss. But regardless, it seems like Power is back at it. So it's nice to have some competition there. Obviously, Power is Torsos's team. If you remember Torsos from a few years back. I just remember like Torsos is one of those names that just feels always been in the OCE scene. So,
yes.
I'm just seeing here if there's any other players. Oh, Siki is on the Lake Show. So there you go.
They kind of swapped with Power in the last
tournament. Yeah.
Yep. I think there's a couple points below, which does matter. OCE, I think, is getting 2 spots to the regional. Am I correct? I'm checking. Don't worry.
I mean, there's part of me that's like, why would you even bring it up? You know, does it matter that much?
It does.
It matters for OCE. It doesn't matter to your point, you know? And you're going to be like, oh, well, it's going to be these two teams.
Well, it could. So there's a couple teams that are vying for it, right? Because, I don't know, Ground Zero is at 18 points right now. Pioneers is likely going to clinch it. I'm surprised that they actually haven't already because being at 28 is insanely high. Yeah, that's insanely high. I'm very surprised they haven't clinched that officially. I don't know how many points you need, but
it's probably Power, in relation to other teams, though, isn't it?
It is, but Power is currently at 22 points, and Lake Show, who is the other one that I'm looking at as a major vier, is at what is. 12 plus 9 or 12 plus 6. Oh, it's the same number. 18. It's 18. So we have two Ground Zero Gaming and Lake Show at 18. We have Power at 22 and then Pioneers at 28. So positioning here does matter. Pioneers, very likely. I'm surprised, like I was saying, I'm surprised they haven't clinched it, but we'll see. Maybe just because there's only two. That's why. I'm not entirely sure. So Pioneer's likely going to be that number one seed, or at least going to be a seed in the thing, in the major. But there's that three-way fight going on based on positioning because those next three spots are very, very close together with only a four-point difference and two of them being tied. So if Power doesn't show up, then maybe they don't make it. If either Ground Zero or Lake Show do show up pretty handedly, and the placeholders actually, that's a three-way tie there. Placeholders there is also at 18. Wow. So very, very close. OCE
competition
is interesting.
Competition's
fierce for OCE right now. Lots of things can be going on, one to watch in the next, 3 days. next week for OC.
There you go. Yeah, we're going to keep moving along just because there's so much here.
There's a lot.
Yeah, but it's nice to kind of see that competition. And then because the better all four of those teams are, in general, it builds that scene. So
yeah,
that's great. We're going to jump into Europe. And I just want to talk actually right off, like with Europe, like, do we feel Team BDS is a little bit on the downswing here?
I would say so. But I don't want to make that statement fully because BDS had, like, they did face KC in this one, like just straight up. They went 3-0 in their things, but it was against Tundra and Vitality and Solary. Vitality being Vitality, we all have our own misgivings with Vitality. They did come fourth, so there's that. And then Tundra actually did very well. They were performing really, really well. They beat out Oxygen, who was the first in the fall open. Mm. So beating them in that top eight for the top eight was a major upset, like really, really well done. Congrats to Tundra. They still beat that. BDS still beat Tundra. They still beat Vitality, who was performing on the weekend. So I don't want to say that just because they lost out in their top eight to KC, who ended up taking it. And KC was performing extremely well.
I just think it's so great that Karma Core is doing so well. Cause like,
oh, I'm very happy.
Especially for Itachi, who like was always like, can he hang? You know, that was that was the thing we were talking about a year and a half ago, right? Like, can Itachi hang? And it's like, you know, it just seems like this team's. I mean, it just seems all those players that like come in as subs eventually, like, they're just part of the really strong roster eventually, right? That's kind of the way things are going. And obviously Quadrant with the team relating way of Nyxo, right?
I'm loving Quadrant as well.
Like, that's so fun, right? It's nice that EU kind of has this role. I mean, there's some part of you, like, obviously, there's a number of players that went to NA. I think there is that trend, but it doesn't look like that has made the overall, shall we say, like, general skill level of the region worse. Because I just feel like sometimes you'll have that, oh, all these players are gone, right? But it's one of those things with Rocket League where it's the one scene where so many of those like top bubble players, probably as soon as they get onto these top teams, are probably better than the people they replace. Because they're still in the up and up, and a lot of these players are currently at their peak, right?
Yeah,
that move to get more money, right, in the other region, and it's like, oh no, they just jump in, and it's like, oh, we're just seeing the future right now. We're just seeing the in a year these teams are going to be competing at Worlds, right? I am also sorry. I want to real mention. I'm kind of sad that Solary didn't do so well. It's definitely the Solary has become my de facto EU team. I just want them to be beat Vitality. I want to see them
on the second day.
I want to see them on the second day. I want them to beat BDS. I want them to beat they've kind of become my de facto, like, oh, this is the team I want to do really well. So that's just a side note.
I understand the feeling. I don't know if this will work. I don't know if it's a, you know, strong hope or a valid hope.
I'm also disappointed that G1 didn't do as well. Like, they beat the winners. G1 beat the winners, right? But then lost to Quadra and lost to EG and then lost to
losing to Algieri, and I believe it was a perfect sweep.
Yeah, Algieri.
It was.
I know it's like Halloween, so like every time I see Algieri's like what's it called? Their logo. It's just like, is that just like Halloween themed, you know? Like, you know, someone likes, does someone just take the rogue, you know, logo and like make it all like creepy, like someone has like one of those masks, you know, like those old goalie masks. That's what I'm feeling, the vibes, you know, that's the vibe.
It's the Halloween vibes, it's the spooky vibes.
I mean, they lost. Our games did quite well. They lost the Moist Esports, but they got quarterfinals. So it's like, you have.
I don't think you have, like, EU isn't as defined right now. I very much feel like the top 12 are very much all fighting for that topic. Like, it's not like, oh, this team will make it or this team won't. It's like, oh no, if you're in and around there, then you're doing well.
So with EU, I think right now, I don't think it's a large statement or a surprising thing to say that it's pretty much a top three and then a next top eight.
So your top three would be Quadrant, KCP, and Moist?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm not exactly sure where BDS actually fits in this.
Well, they did that to us last year, right? They're like, oh, they're dropping off. Oh, they're losing tournaments. And they're like, let us win Worlds, you know? Like, is Team BDS, as long as they can make it to Major, like, is that the threat, you know? Mm-hmm.
And is it just, like, BDS is getting super unlucky with their draws in bracket? Because that is genuinely a thing that could be said. They, like I said earlier, they got KCP in this one, and KCP was performing.
Okay, well, they got really good draws in Swiss.
They did get really good draws in Swiss, but that's kind of messing with them, because the teams that they go into are the ones that are doing really badly in Swiss, or worse than you would expect, but then still winning. They hit Carmen Corp.
They hit the team that won. So, like, if it wasn't them, they might have, you know, made it to semis. Yeah.
They hit Quadrant in the previous one, and Quadrant, lost to Oxygen, but Quadrant is still, like, one of those teams that is insanely good. Like I said, like, I would put them in the top three. So is it just BDS getting unlucky? Is it them not performing on the final day? Is it them not?
Wait, like, till them at LAN. Okay.
Yeah. That's wait for them at LAN. So I don't know where I want to put them. They're the biggest, question mark for me.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. We'll continue on here. Now to the region that we care about, because we're from there.
Wait, one last final thing. That just for points, because I like points. KC has officially qualified. I don't know if I said this. They are the only one in EU that has qualified, like confirmed qualified for the major.
Results. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I think there's a large number of teams that are vying for those next four spots. There's a lot of teams that are vying for that. So I'm not even going to pretend to make predictions on it.
No, we're not making predictions.
No. But yeah, there's a lot. The next one is definitely going to matter. It's definitely going to be a lot. It'll be a lot for all of this. It's the one that's dictating the entire major, because all of it is invitational and all of it is based off of previous rankings.
Maybe rankings, yeah.
But this, Carmen Corp is one of the teams that qualified, essentially, is the final thing.
And you're happy.
I'm very happy. I bought my skin for a reason.
nice. You know, that's great. Sorry, I was gonna say, the region we're from, right, our favorite region, APAC region. Yep.
Okay, unironically, I do want to talk about APAC very, very, very quickly.
All right. Let me go back to the notes. Oh.
The one thing that I really want to say is that James's Cheese is the team that it was designed to be. Realize Virtuoso and Kami is doing very, very well. You probably recognize all of those names for a reason. They're doing well. They're going to be there. Are they going to be in the thing? I think they're going to be in. Oh, they're not going to be in the major. They are. They are. Likely.
Stop scaring me here.
Yep. There's one spot for APAC to make or to go into the major. They won both the Open and the Cup, so likely going to be winning the Invitational as well. That'll be happening, you know, along with all of the other ones in the next week-ish. I would love to see them, because I would love to see the, we've talked about Realize over the past couple of years, and how we want, like, we would love to see him really perform with a strong team on the main stage. And this might be it.
And I think them going to the major as well is going to be really important.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because I mean, like, they don't have a sponsor right now, right? They're still looking for a team, like, to pick them up.
Yeah.
And it probably makes sense too, because they probably know what they're worth, you know. Mm-hmm. They're not going to accept our negative money that we're willing to offer. They're not going to accept a t-shirt and the hat. Give them the hat, you know. That's all I can offer them. But I'm sure them getting any some results in the major would be a big push as well.
And there's also Virtuoso and Kami, who both have LAN experience on this team. Realize himself has LAN experience from the previous. So lots to look forward to with that team specifically. And that's the team that we're likely going to be seeing. So that's the one thing I wanted to mention for that region.
Beautiful. Let's go over NA results, and then we're going to do predictions, because I feel like with all this result stuff and that we've been talking, this is definitely like a roundup episode, I feel.
It is a roundup before the final big thing.
Before the major in a couple of weeks. Last chance to get any points. Yes, finally, I said this last week, V1 winning.
Yep.
I'm so happy. I'm also happy Gen G, it seems like that team was underperforming. I think we actually literally talked about it, how we thought, oh, like, was Gen G just unlucky, and it kind of seems like it, like in the first time they had a tough opponent in the last regional.
They did, but they also got second.
When was this then? What am I thinking of?
I'm not exactly sure.
The previous regional,
In Fall Open and Fall Cup. So this one, this most recent one, and the one before that. So the two things that we really have.
What was the thing that I saw them get, like, eighth in? I'm trying to remember now. Was there a tournament before the Fall
Open? There might have been.
Maybe I was thinking of that. Anyway, okay, it seems like Gen G is firmly situated in the top two there.
Yes, and they are the only NA team that has clinched their spot. So there's two EU teams currently in...
I mean, it makes sense, right? And I mean, yeah, it just seems I think NA was so, like, NA is the league that their top eight is, like, continuously shuffling, right? And it seems that actually Gen G is the teams that's coming out most consistent. So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. And the reward with the spot. And with that in mind, I mean, do you have anything you want to talk, like, energy? And I guess semis, that's not bad, right?
I think that FaZe might be pretty well situated in that top two. In the first regional they won, they beat out Gen G, and this one they got eighth. They are tied for eighth because they lost to Gen G again, or like in this one, in a best of seven in game seven. So FaZe, if you're putting Gen G as like the top two, then you should also be putting FaZe there, even though the points don't necessarily show that. They might, but.
And with that in mind, we're in the third regional coming up. I think this is the closest tournament to when this is released. What's your prediction? That's what we'll do. What's your prediction, Wabs, for the NA champion of the Invitational, the Fall Invitational? Because 1-2-3 was just too hard to name, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely too hard. Oh man, I'm looking at it. I actually want to think about this because, like, it shuffles so much. It does. This is a very, very competitive thing. Entirely, like, all the way around, it is extremely competitive with every single team, like, vying for each other's spots. The easy answers are going to be FaZe and Gen G. Those are your basic ones. And, like, if they win, all right, cool.
Team Axel isn't going to take it?
Team Axel's going to take it. I kind of want to.
That's a fun team, Ajax and Gimmick. That's fun. That's a fun team.
I almost want to say V1 might take it again. But the only way that it happens,
right, is you get two teams. Okay.
Oh yeah. So I'll say V1 takes it if Calm is a menace. I don't know if this was talked about, but that one game specifically where Calm had 20 demos and set the RLCS record. If he's a menace, then, and like doing what he needs to do and doing what like he should be doing.
The demo meta isn't dead, you know?
That's the Calm meta. so if he's there, then, you know, V1 will show up. If the other two are backing him with that and doing what they need to do, then like V1 is, there's a reason they won. SSG, I want to say, they have an extremely good shot of taking it, but the only reason
is that what you're gonna say.
Genji's the one that I should be picking.
And then you're like, no, they're getting second. Okay, you've got second twice again. They're gonna get second this, second in the major, and second.
Genji is the new phase. They're just one place up. That's it.
They're the new, yeah. No, they're like, what was the team that always got second?
FaZe always got fourth.
FaZe always got fourth. Maybe it's like Vitality and EU, you know, for a year.
Okay, a little bit of a out there. I think that G2 is going to be angry. I think G2 is going to be mad that they
If G2 is going to show up, they're going to show up now, right? Like, this is the tournament. Yeah.
And that's what I mean. I think they're going to be mad that they got ninth. They didn't even make it to top eight bracket in the last one because they had to face Genji. I think they're going to be angry. I think that there's a chance I want to call them. That's my pick.
All right, I'm going to go with Optic and NRG because I feel like...
Really? You're saying NRG?
I haven't said NRG in years, honestly. I am, because this is the point where NRG... Like, this is the point where NRG either, like, comes out of nowhere and wins a tournament, or they're out in Swiss. You know, like, that's the kind of tournament we're at, I feel. They're either making it to major or they're not. And I believe they have to do something. It's... Mm-hmm. It's one of those teams where it's like watching Manchester United, right?
Yeah, okay.
You think they suck and they're still kind of in and around the top four area, you know? Like it's now or never for them. But yeah, Energy or Optic, I feel like it's going to be one of those teams. It's not going to be V1, it's not going to be Gen G, it's not going to be FaZe, it's not going to be the teams you expect, okay? I feel like in this tournament, we're going to look and it's going to be like, oh, one of those less suspected teams, and Optic and NRG is what I got.
Okay. So the NRG I disagree with. I've been a strong critiquer.
So if critic. NRG wins it, what are you going to do next week on the podcast? You're going to say you were right, Lazero. That's what you're going to have to say.
Okay. I'll do that. You don't have to sing it.
I once tried to make you sing something, but you can concede that I was right.
I will concede that you were right, that NRG takes this, but that is I'll only concede it under plot armor.
First.
under NRG plot armor, where they have to make it to majors.
Energy's part of the script, you know?
Yeah, NRG is just part of the script, then, you know, there's nothing you can say.
They're the heroes that are hanging, like, that really shouldn't be winning at this point, but they're still around for some reason.
Exactly. Yeah. For Optic, though... I actually think that's a really, really interesting pick that you chose, because I genuinely agree with you that I do think Optic is has one of the higher skill caps as a team. I expect them to be there in the major. I expect them to be doing really, really well. I fully expect them to be like one of our best teams soon.
And I just think there's a part of me that feels like, because of how relatively all over the place NA is, it's very hard for me to see a team win twice in a row.
That's fair.
That's part of my argument why like I haven't seen Optic in there, so I kind of but they're still, like, you know, biting at the heels, as you say. So I can see them taking it.
So basically, if Optic can figure out how to work together and, like, really fix up some of the small issues that they've been having, some of the, I think there have been, like, slight communication issues or things where they're still in that, not honeymoon phase, but in that, like, working through phase, where they likely, or at least they could be one of the best teams in NA in the world. I don't know if they're there yet. That's why I'm not picking them. That is straight up the only reason I'm not picking them, because
they haven't shown results to make you justify right?
Yeah, because this is what they've always been. That's what they were set up as. That's what they chose, or like what they picked each other as. It was like, we're not going to perform right away. We know this. We don't even have to necessarily make major, even though we really want to. We are just going to be a team that will grow with each other. And we're a team that, once we figure each other out, then we're going to be that top team. So the moment they hit, they like really perform, make a one, that's when I'll pick them for the next one.
For sure. And I mean, there's part of me that feels as well. It's like some of these, like, how much does NA have spots? Is it five? Four or five?
Should be six, no?
Six, one, two, okay.
Three, four, five.
Five, right?
US definitely five, like five, yeah. Team 6, 7, 8, you're like, well, they could probably also compete at the majors.
For sure.
There
that you was go. A big bounce. Yeah.
Hopefully everything's all right there.
It is.
all right. With that, we're going to close out the show here. So thank you, Abs, for giving the much needed insight. This year, yeah, if someone wants to know like what's happening with Rocket League Esports, this is the episode to send them to. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank our patrons who've been so supportive and help out and make sure that we get some audio and editing in this.
Yep.
Yeah, so that we're not all over the place with that. So thank you so much to Zodiac 22, Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Flux, Awesomeness, Caleb, Raz, Digital Toast, Paint, your boy Hunty, and Young Slug. I want another octave that one, so I hope you liked it. Your homework, should you choose to accept it, is to let's make it Rocket League related. Find like one Ooh. Skill that you've always wanted to do, and like you don't even have to succeed at learning it. But this week, spend an hour or two just trying it out, trying it for the first time. There you go.
I like
it could be air dribble, it could be flip reset, it could be just getting shots into corners, like the corner you decide, not the corner that you happen to hit. Yeah, little skills, small skills, fast aerials, whatever you want, but choose one thing and practice it an hour or two this week. Not even every day, just an hour or two. Yeah.
To add on, if you want three fun ideas, the waiting video that came out a couple weeks ago was actually really good for fun mechanics that might actually be interesting to look into.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Amazing. All right. Thank you, everyone, so much. We'll see you all next week. Peace.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.